From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series of studies in the life of the man whom the Bible calls the friend of God, Abraham. From his text, Genesis chapter 14, Dr. Cairns commences a message called Abraham to the Rescue. In the previous two messages, we saw how Lot chose to settle in Sodom, a city of unspeakable wickedness, because of the material advantages that it afforded. His disregard for the moral well-being of his family led to disastrous consequences. Not only did he lose his family, but by his compromise with the heathen, Lot wound up as a captive of Babylonian raiders in the battle of the four kings against five. The price of spiritual compromise with the world is high indeed. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Grow Up. The text is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Yes, when the sun shines, the sick quit their chambers and walk abroad to breathe the fresh air. When the sun brings spring and summer, the cattle quit their stalls and seek pasture on the higher Alps. Even thus, when we have conscious fellowship with our Lord, we leave the stall of despondency and walk abroad in the fields of holy confidence. We ascend to the mountains of joy and feed on sweet pasturage, which grows nearer heaven than the provender of carnal men. To go forth and to grow up is a double promise. O my soul, be thou eager to enjoy both blessings. Why shouldst thou be a prisoner? Arise and walk at liberty. Jesus saith that his sheep shall go in and out and find pasture. Go forth, then, and feed in the rich meadows of boundless love. Why remain a babe in grace? Grow up. Young calves grow fast, especially if they are stall-fed, and thou hast the choice care of thy Redeemer. Grow then in grace and in the knowledge of thy Lord and Savior. Be neither straitened nor stunted. The Sun of Righteousness has risen upon thee. Answer to his beams as the buds to the natural sun. Open thine heart, expand, and grow up into him in all things.
Jesus, my blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We'd like to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues. The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. He'll be dealing with such subjects as, did God create evil? What does it mean to call no man father? What is the unpardonable sin? Does Hebrews teach that Christians can lose their salvation? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
In Genesis chapter 14, we meet with history and mystery. The story of the battle of the four kings versus the five, of Abram's raid on the armies from Babylon, and his rescue of Lot, his meeting with Melchizedek, and his refusal to take anything of the goods of the king of Sodom, are all history. In Melchizedek, we meet with the mystery. For this is certainly one of the most intriguing and mysterious characters to appear in the page of Scripture. At the very least, Melchizedek is a wonderful type of Christ. So great a type of Christ, which I take him to be, that many have believed that he was more than that, and was even a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ upon the earth. When this chapter opens, both Abram and Lot are comfortably enjoying the very different decisions and choices that they have made. Abram is living in Mamre, or Hebron, in his tent and at his altar. Lot is living prosperously in the city of Sodom. However, all that's just about to change. Some years before Lot went down into Sodom, Sodom and the surrounding cities came under bondage to Chedorlaomer and his associated monarchs from the area around what we know as Babylonia, the area of the rivers Tigris and Euphrates. These kings had come across and they had taken over this very important stretch of land. Got to understand that he who had the possession and the sovereignty over that particular area had control of the great trade route between Damascus and Memphis. So all the way from Syria to Egypt, and then all the way back to Babylonia, there would be great wealth, great prosperity for the kings who were in control. It was very important then for these Babylonian kings to make this incursion and to make this conquest. After 13 years, the kings of the Pentapolis, as it's called, the five kings in the area around Sodom, decided they would rebel. And that provoked a return of Chedorlaomer and his associates, which happened in the 14th year. The foreign masters returned to reclaim their conquests. And they were totally successful. And in their success, they took much loot. They devastated the cities. They took all the goods. And on top of that, they took many captives as slaves. And among them was Lot, Abram's brother's son. Over in Hebron, not very far away as far as mileage is concerned, but as far as the kings of Babylon were concerned, really in a different world, and not much in their way of thinking of great importance. Over in Hebron, Abram was not molested at all by these four kings. They had no immediate quarrel with him, and so he kept himself wisely out of their war. This was not his war. And then he heard that his nephew, Lot, was among the captives. And that changed everything for Abram, because he could no longer stand aloof. He had 318 trained servants who had been born in his own home. Men who were men of integrity upon whom he could depend. And so gathering these armed servants and all the fighting men that the local Canaanite chiefs could supply, he set off in pursuit of the armies of Chedorlaomer, and at length he caught up with them. Now, they greatly outnumbered him. But if you ever read much, whether of ancient or modern warfare, you'll discover that numbers are not always everything. In warfare, very often surprise more than makes up for lack of numbers. And certainly, Abram had the element of surprise on his side. The victorious Babylonian army was most probably asleep. They certainly expected no more trouble. If you put yourself in their position, where is there going to come, this trouble going to come from? We have devastated the kings and armies who could possibly rise up to cause us trouble. So, where's it going to come from? Gorged with loot, drunk with success, and tired with their journey, they slept. And then in a move that was the pattern, the exact pattern, followed by Gideon many, many years later, Abram split up his small body of fighting men into smaller units. And in the darkness, probably with the same noise that Gideon raised against the Midianites in his day, with much noise and tremendous courage, he drove forward. Suddenly there was this explosion of violent opposition and great danger as far as the Babylonians were concerned. Put yourself in their position. Again, bone tired with their journey. Taken totally by surprise. Wakened in the thick darkness of an eastern night with these blood-curdling cries of men on a mission of vengeance, they suddenly awaken to the fact we are in danger. They have no idea if there are 300 or 300,000 men there. And so, as has happened in ancient and in modern times, they turned tail and they ran, every man for his life. And if it was anything like the case that Gideon ran into, they did more damage to themselves than trying to get out of the way. Abram followed up the advantage, chased them and slaughtered them as they ran. Like David, who did the same with the Amalekites after the siege or the sacking of Ziklag, Abram recovered all. He recovered all the booty, all the goods that were taken from Sodom and the surrounding cities. But most of all, he recovered Lot. The return of Abram was the return of a hero. And as he came back, two kings came out to meet him. There was Bera, king of Sodom, with an offer of great wealth. And there was Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, with bread and wine and the blessing of God. It's very important, and we will pay attention to this, that Abram met first with Melchizedek. And in the glow of that meeting, he was able to face Bera with his tempting offer. Exulting in the blessing of God, he could entirely refuse to have any part or lot in the ill-gotten gains of Sodom. In other words, coming out of his meeting with Melchizedek, and coming out of his communion with the priest of the Most High, Abram was more a separated man than he had ever been before. And so, he went back to his tent and to his altar, spiritually at least, a much richer man than he'd ever been before. I say spiritually at least because he wasn't financially or materially any better off. The world could never understand the view that Abram took of wealth. They could never understand that. Worldly men could never appreciate how a man like Abram could set such store by spiritual riches and such little store by the things that the world counted very important. And Lot couldn't understand it either. For the awful truth is that as Abram turned back to his tent, repudiating all the wealth of Sodom, Lot went straight back into Sodom. Despite the fact that it was now a devastated heap, he went straight back into Sodom. And indeed, he went into it even more deeply than he had ever been before. Now, in due course, we will see what price Lot had to pay for that great folly. But for the moment, I want us to turn our attention upon Abram. Here's a man separated unto God. Here's a man totally, thoroughly separated from the world. And yet he, of all men, is the only person who can do any real good to the people from whom he was separated. There's a lesson we have seen before, and we will see it again, and especially it will become very obvious as in the will of God we get to chapter 18 and chapter 19. Here's the man outside the camp, the separated man of God. As far as the world's concerned, he doesn't count. He's not one of us. He doesn't believe in integration. He doesn't believe in getting inside and letting his light shine. He's outside the worldly camp. But when it comes to the real time of trouble, it is not Lot the compromiser. It is Abraham, the separatist, who is able to do any good for God and for man. That's always the case. I reiterate that. The calling of God to his people, as we shall see coming through very clearly tonight, is a calling to separation. Compromise just takes away the ability of a Christian to be of any use to the world in which God has placed him. And the more you try to be like the world, and the more you try to go along with the world, the more you will be useless in doing any good to the world. It's the man outside the camp that God always uses. And that's what we find here. Lot's compromise got him all the way to be a slave of the Babylonians.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.